What's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 106, I believe. This is Dave.
This is the less talented brother of Jeff Bridges.
Wow. Was there another brother besides Bo Bridges?
No, Bo is the less talented one.
Okay, just making sure. Wow. Yeah, this is a special week. All right, this week Barry wasn't unable to make it, so it's the two-man show, which hopefully this time we won't have to scrap the show like we did last time. Yeah, no kidding. That was a bad time. It's okay. This week we are starting off our series on Ridley Scott, and we are starting off with The Duelists, which should be an interesting pick. This should be fun to talk about. Anyhow, let's go ahead and talk about what we watched this week. Ethan, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, well, a week ago today, while everyone was watching the Canada-US hockey game, and that's, I guess, what they're doing right now also, I decided to watch Harmony Korine's Julian Donkey Boy. This is this was his second film after Gummo. It was shot in the Dogme 95 format, and it's an interesting film. It doesn't have like half the power of Gummo, but every once in a while there's a pretty interesting image in it. Like for example, Werner Herzog. Well, I should tell you what it's about. It's about this kind of retarded guy and his family, and Werner Herzog plays his dad. And I'm saying right now, Werner Herzog was robbed of an Oscar nomination for this movie. There's this scene where they're having like a dinner, and the son, he's like doing this poem. Then Werner Herzog is like, "I do not like that artsy-fartsy crap. I like something real, like the end of Dirty Harry." And he just goes on this big thing about the ending of Dirty Harry, and it's awesome. And there's also the scene with a rapping albino, and there's some other good stuff in it. So yeah. I'd recommend it if you're a fan of the sound of Werner Herzog's voice.
So it's wow, that sounds really interesting. So what has sparked the Harmony Korine kick as of late? I'm curious.
I've always thought he was a cool guy. Like, I've seen his appearances on Letterman. I thought they were pretty funny, but I was always kind of just afraid to watch his movies. But I finally just sat down and said, you know, I gotta watch them. I just have to if I'm gonna be a fan of his. So. Watched Gummo, enjoyed it a lot. Now watch Julian Donkey Boy, enjoy it somewhat. And there's only one left, Mr. Lonely, and I guess Trash Humpers as well. So I'm looking forward to checking those two out.
Very cool.
I
haven't watched any of his films, so yeah, I cannot speak either way.
Okay.
I might check them out at some point, but I don't know. At some point.
Be prepared. Second, I watched Jim Jarmusch's Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, which is a pretty awesome movie.
I think I need to revisit that because I hated it when I watched it.
Really? What were you like expecting one thing and you got the other?
I don't know what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting The Way of the Big Fat Samurai. I don't know why, but yeah.
Even though he was on the cover?
Well, yeah, I know. I don't know. I just didn't like it. So I need to revisit it at some point. Because people keep telling me how awesome it is, and just wondering what they're on. So yeah, I need to check it out again.
Well, I was a little stoned when I watched it, but so I guess I was on something. But no, it's an awesome movie. The Whitaker's awesome in it. The instrumental rap score by the RZA is so awesome, and it's really cool. Like as seen in Limits of Control, obviously Jarmusch is very inspired by. Point Blank and Les Samurai, and that's in here too. And a lot of the Kurosawa films serve as influence, like Rashomon is a pretty direct influence. And I loved it. And just shows why Jarmusch is one of my favorites. And last, I've started watching Supernatural.
Okay, and what's your thoughts on it so far?
I think it's a pretty fun show. The thing about it is that the production values on it are like awesome.
Yeah.
Like I was just thinking if like Buffy had the production values of Supernatural, it would just be like just this perfect blend. But sure, the writing's good too. Particularly the character of Dean. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
like it's weird. Why is like Hollywood trying to convince us that Chase Crawford from Gossip Girl is a movie star, but not Jensen Ackles, who actually has like charisma and talent and screen presence. I don't know.
You could almost see him like doing it. Like if someone were to do a Dirty Harry remake, you could almost see that happening.
Yeah. It's a really fun show. I'm excited to get more into it because I've heard it kind of moves past the Monster of the Week format and some more kind of Buffy-esque territory. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, yeah, we actually finished disc 3 of season 2, and it definitely moves on into an actual linear storyline. Still has kind of Monster of the Week stuff, but it's interconnected and it takes it some very interesting places.
I should say one last thing. The music on the show is awesome. The use of music.
Oh my gosh. I don't even want to know how much the licensing fees for that soundtrack are.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm not even the biggest classic rock fan, but the way it's used is awesome. Yeah.
The box of cassette tapes when he first gets in the car is like, really, dude, we need to get you a CD player.
Yeah, it's good. Yes. That's all I watched.
Okay, I'm trying to think if I watched really much of anything either, and you know, it was really been catching up on Supernatural a lot. Yeah, that and playing with the projector I'm going to use for Starfest for HD, watching like Iron Man and Matrix and stuff. I've been on a Blu-ray buying spree. That's the problem.
Dave's got to eat.
Well, yeah. I don't. That's the problem. We'll just leave that there. Okay, let's. Well, yeah, before we derail too terribly much, let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this past weekend. We've got the George Romero remake of The Crazies, and apparently Kevin Smith somewhere in there, I don't know, did cop out. Did you see either of these?
No.
Okay. Thought about seeing Cop Out, and I just, you know, I don't think I need to.
No, I don't either. It's like... I like Kevin Smith, but as a writer, not like saying that a movie is directed by him is kind of like saying that a movie is directed by a monkey.
Wow. I don't know if I'll go quite that far. I'm glad that he moved out of just directing his own stuff that he writes and is actually perhaps making. He's either trying to grow a little bit as a filmmaker, or he was just doing it for the paycheck. I'm not sure which. Probably more the second than the first, but. I like seeing him go outside of what he's comfortable with.
Yeah.
I like to see him actually grow as a filmmaker. That's all. Yeah.
Me too, but I don't know. I just think he should really stick to writing.
Fair enough. Maybe he should write for Shyamalan, since Shyamalan can't write for crap.
That'd be interesting, you know? Like lots of James Newton Howard music over a guy telling a dick joke. That'd be good.
You know, that just might work. That might spark both their careers back into stardom. There you go.
We can only hope.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you think about this, think about if Kevin Smith were to write the Unbreakable sequels.
That'd be interesting.
Because the guy can write comics. He can write action.
Yeah, and he's now pals with Bruce Willis. So, actually, speaking of that, did you see that video by James Roshi of him at the cop-out junket?
No.
James Roshi from MSN, cool guy. He was at the junket for Cop Out, and basically, there's been a lot of people say who've seen the movie think that Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis hated each other. So he was asking the both of them, interviewing them, and he just kind of sarcastically said, "How much did you two grow to hate each other during the making of this movie?" And Bruce Willis just gave him this like dead-on look, and it was like this awkward pause, and he's like, well, that's an interesting question.
So there was no confirming or denying?
Yeah, but...
Interesting.
No.
Okay. I know, I'll catch it on DVD, probably. I can't see forking over to get the cash to actually go.
Yeah.
That's just kind of pushing it. And let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting on DVD and Blu-ray this week. I'm going to call it a crap title of the week and segue it into a news story. So there we go. We got Gentleman Broncos, which apparently is pretty bad. The sci-fi original series, miniseries Alice, which is kind of a sequel on Alice in Wonderland. It's very trippy and it's interesting. It's worth checking out. One of Barry Nathan's favorite movies of last year, Where the Wild Things Are. The newest Miyazaki animated film, Ponyo, is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray and Blu-ray combo and like versions with a stuffed fish and there's tons of versions. And then finally we've got 2012.
Ooh.
You know, I could see this actually being like a reference quality, like this is like a movie you'd use as a demo for your home theater system.
Yeah.
But have you heard about how the studios are already starting to get greedy with Blu-ray with this?
No, tell me, Dave.
Okay, I can do that. we all know about the current DVD goings on of buying a single disc version of a movie with nothing on it, or a two disc that has all the features on the first disc and like a digital copy on the second. Apparently the same thing is happening with 2012. If you buy the one disc, you get like pretty much no extras. And if you buy the two disc, then you get all the extras to go with it. Which, when release day movie, you know, prices are still going for like $20 and up, you don't need to be trying to charge more. This is going to piss people off to no end, I think.
I never got to discuss the movie because I think the weekend it came out, we missed the show. But let me point out the difference here between Michael Bay and Roland Emmerich.
Okay.
See, Michael Bay is the guy who shows up to set by jet boat with explosions going on behind him and Playboy bunnies fawning him and Linkin Park playing. And Roland Emmerich is the guy who buys pizza for everybody on the crew after a day of shooting. That's the difference.
Fair enough. One is a better human being. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying one takes his job too seriously and thinks he's amazing, and the other just realizes that it's all fun. It's all fun and games. Don't take it too seriously. And maybe, you know, 2012 is nearly 3 hours long, but it's a fun movie.
Yeah. I might see it at some point. I'm sure I will, but
I laughed from the very beginning to the very end. So just take that as a...
Sweet. Well, you know, since you bring it up that way, you know, I could totally see Michael Bay wanting to make the soundtrack to his life. You know, cool guys don't look back at explosions.
I can see that as well.
Because how many of those clips were from Michael Bay movies, really?
I know. Yeah, and he probably while watching it, didn't realize the irony. He was like, that's true. That's true. We don't look at it back at explosions.
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to some news. Why don't you go first, and I'll just interspace the two DVD releases I got coming up here shortly.
Okay. George Lopez has agreed to star in a Speedy Gonzales movie. Discuss.
After hearing what was in Beverly Hills Chihuahua, I don't know how people are going to think that this isn't an offensive movie.
Oh, George Lopez.
Hold your tacos. Yeah.
Well, are they? I wonder if they're going to include though. I always liked Speedy's cousin Slowpoke. He was like a slow. It was like a slow Speedy Gonzales. He'd be like, "Oh, hey, man," and yeah. Speedy always needs to help him. That'd be.
They should have called him Cheech.
They should have, but no. Slowpoke was good.
Slowpoke seemed stoned.
Yeah, I think that was what they were kind of saying. It was some subtext in a children's cartoon.
Sweet. I don't see how this can possibly be any good at all.
No.
Are we going to go into the origins of Speedy Gonzales and answer all the questions that we have, you know, who he is? And I just don't see this working well at all.
Yeah, I see no way in which this isn't like a Razzie contender.
Or a lock, depending on what year it comes out.
Yeah. Wait, what year does Breaking Dawn come out? Oh, snap.
Oh,
see
dang.
What I just said there. Oh,
there it is. Oh. There it is. Wow. All right, well, I'll move on to some very interesting TV news. Shout Factory has been putting out some pretty cool TV shows from the 80s and other times, just stuff that, you know, it's more of a niche market, but they are releasing the Larry Sanders Show, the complete series.
Then hasn't it already been released?
It's Gary Shandling. It's part of the Gary Shandling Show has been released, but not this.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm very happy. They're releasing that. They're releasing the Norm Macdonald Show for some reason. And I'll save the other one for my last news story. So what else have you got, sir?
Zoolander 2 could potentially be happening. It will be directed by Justin Theroux, who... co-wrote Tropic Thunder and Iron Man 2 and starred in Mulholland Drive, and potentially Jonah Hill could be playing the villain.
Jonah Hill's just kind of showing up everywhere now, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's kind of more the character actor, while Seth Rogen is kind of the leading man, I guess.
Slash character actor. Yeah, yeah. That's one thing I will give Seth Rogen credit for is that he's not afraid to take a back seat.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't like Fanboys, it's still better than nothing.
Are you a fan of the first Zoolander?
Not particularly.
Okay, because it would be like in my top 20 movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a pretty humongous fan of it.
Okay. Well, then I'm happy like for you, sir.
Like, it's arguably my favorite comedy. But, no, I guess it's interesting Stiller wouldn't direct it again, because he directed the first one. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Might be he just wants to relax a little bit for this movie. Concentrate on the story, answering all the unanswered questions from the first film.
There are plenty of unanswered questions from the first film. I want to see him and John Voight reunite.
Okay. It could be fun. I mean, I'll probably check it out, but yeah. It's not, I don't regard it quite as highly as you do. We'll just put it that way.
Okay.
I know. I'll let you finish off whatever you've got, then I'll do my final story.
Okay, last news story for me here. Recently, it was released a list of directors that are being considered to direct Paranormal Activity 2. One of them, Brian De Palma.
Since you've been on this De Palma kick for the past month or so, what do you think of this news? Because you're the first person I thought of when I read this.
Well, you know, De Palma, frankly, the guy, he needs a hit. So, you know, whatever to get him some goodwill in Hollywood, if he needs to do this, that's cool. And I actually think he could potentially make it good because one of the themes of the films, obviously, is voyeurism. And that's obviously a theme of Paranormal Activity. So I could just so see him going all balls out with this. But on the other hand, this seems like it's just a quickie movie. Like, it'd be like filming, what, like next month for a release in October? So, like, would he allow to infuse any of his artistry on it or what? That's my question.
The upside is that the story would be pretty easy to come up with.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if like De Palma wants to do all this meta stuff, and the studio's like, no, just cut that out.
We don't need a smart movie. That's crazy talk.
Yeah. It's just what I wonder.
I don't know. I'd like to see it. It'd be kind of cool. I would be interested to see it. Otherwise, the film's probably not even on my radar.
Yeah. If again, like I said, if De Palma needs to do this so he can make more personal movies, I'm okay with that.
That's true. Kind of go the Cusack route where he makes Must Love Dogs, but then he, you know, before that he
2012.
Didn't. Yeah, there you go. So hope he gets back to the Gross Point Blank High Fidelity stage of things, as opposed to War Inc.
I actually think War Inc. was a more personal movie for him, because didn't he co-write it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It just wasn't all that awesome, though. I think part of that was Hilary Duff, though.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a bad movie. Yeah. I don't know. All right, my last bit of news for all you 80s heads. Everyone who grew up in the 80s remembers Max Headroom. I don't know if you ever saw the TV show or not. It was a very interesting cyberpunk show, probably the first cyberpunk TV show ever made. But again, Shout Factory has somehow gotten a hold of the license to bring that to DVD. So between Gary Sanders, Larry Sanders, you've got Max Headroom. Apparently Daria's coming out from MTV later this year. This could be a really good year for TV on DVD.
I'd like to revisit Daria. I was too young when it came out. Fully appreciate it.
I think you dig it. I think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I guess let's go ahead and take a quick break. And it's probably going to be a short episode, but that's okay because we're both awake and we're into it. So it's all good. But we will be right back to start off our series on Ridley Scott.
Hi, this is Jen from the Jen and Dave Show. I would like to encourage everyone to take part in our annual Oscars Picks Contest. Go to oscars.thejenanddaveshow.com and make your choice of who will win the Oscar. And whoever picks the most right will get prizes from Classic Yak, Cross Driven Radio, Spirit Blade Productions, and of course, a batch of my internet famous cookies. So make your picks today at oscars.thejenanddaveshow.com.
This is Nana Visitor, and this is Screen Geeks Radio.
And thanks to the Jen and Dave Show for sending us that bumper. That's cool. We like Oscar pick contests.
We really do.
I know we're probably all going to do our own little picks and compare notes after it's all said and done. And I don't know. I'm debating doing like a live show. I don't know.
No, don't. Okay.
Because I'm thinking everyone's going to be watching it. Who wants to actually like listen to us talk?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do a wrap-up the next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be all good. All right. Anyhow, we're starting off the Ridley Scott segment. And, you know, I really like the fact that we have picked some films that aren't on everyone's radar. Like, I'd never even heard of The Duelists before Barry's like, hey, we should talk about this movie.
Oh, okay.
Had you? Okay, so obviously you have heard of it.
I had heard of it, yeah.
Okay. Now, had you seen it before this?
No.
Fair enough. That's right. You had it on your TiVo forever.
Yeah, I had it on since November. Like, consider this. I recorded, I think, November 13th, the day 2012 came out. And I just watched it a few days before 2012 came out on DVD, so.
Wow.
Just saying.
All right, then. Well, let's start off talking about the story behind this film. The film stars Keith Carradine and Harvey Keitel, and it is a story about, if I can get to the right page, you know, during the Napoleonic Age, an officer in the French army essentially has to come get another officer because he almost killed somebody. And this guy essentially gets pissed off and decides, I'm going to kill this man at some point, and keeps challenging him to a duel between throughout their entire lives, and they keep fighting throughout their lives. In two different and very, I think, equally stupid senses of honor. I don't know. What did you think about the sense of honor in this thing?
It was honorable.
Was it? Okay. Because you had Harvey Keitel's side of things where he essentially saw himself as being embarrassed for getting told to go back to his quarters for almost killing someone in a duel. And so he upheld his quote-unquote honor. And then you had Keith Carradine, who's like, well, I'm not going to say what actually happened because we need a full board of inquiry. When his superiors are like, okay, tell me what happened and you're off the hook. It's all good. He's like, no, I'm going to be stupid. And that was really kind of an annoying part of the film, I thought.
Well, to be fair, I kind of like the movie. It's like it's visually stunning, like all of Scott's other films. But yeah, Keith Carradine was kind of my big problem with it. Not as much his character, but just his performance. I found him very
whiny,
and kind of he lacked screen presence or charisma of any kind. That he was kind of. But Harvey Keitel, oh my God, awesome!
He is a bad, bad man in this film.
Yeah,
like he's chewing up scenery left and right. And I think with Keith Carradine, I don't know if it was more the performance or if it was just the writing. Because I think he kind of, you know, took the thing from the page to the screen quite well. It's just I don't know if it was written all that well in the first place.
Yeah, I think the characters in the movie are actually a little thin overall.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ridley Scott was looking for a reason to do a period piece to get, you know, this gorgeous cinematography, because it, make no mistake about it, this is a gorgeous film to look at, especially that first duel in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just the way that shot of the countryside is done, it looks beautiful.
If I actually describe this movie, I'd call it Diet Barry Lyndon.
Okay. That could work.
Yeah, it's also as narration by Stacey Keach. So, you know, similar narration there. And
it was kind of odd to have that popping up out of nowhere, though.
Yeah, and I think the theme of the movie, like Barry Lyndon, was about the passing of time and such. And obviously it has the duels like Barry Lyndon, though, with swords and not guns. And what else? And, yeah, period piece, people who are pompous and such. Yeah, it's like Barry Lyndon, just not as good.
Yeah, I did appreciate the actual duels because it wasn't something that like glamorized the duel and made it, you know, an Errol Flynn sword fight. It was just kind of down and dirty and really brought that across. And I really appreciated that, honestly.
Yeah, it reminded me of that episode of The Simpsons where Homer keeps slapping people and challenging them to a duel.
That was Harvey Keitel in this movie.
Yeah.
Wow, Harvey Keitel is Homer Simpson. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah, it's an interesting story. Like, it's oddly compelling. Like, the story, if you're just kind of, you know, we say, hey, it's about guys who fight each other a whole lot during their lives, it sounds like a boring movie.
And yeah, what was up with Albert Finney being in, like, one scene?
The one whole scene he was in? He was in it at the end, right?
I can't remember.
Or was that Brian Cox?
No, it was Albert Finney.
Okay, the guy that he talked to about the people on the list?
Yeah.
It's just kind of a random cameo. I mean, it was a great scene, and I think it was awesome. It was a high point of the film, but this movie just it was paced very oddly, I think.
I kind of would have liked it to be a little longer, to be honest. Like, be an epic. Be Barry Lyndon. Be 3 hours long, you know? But
yeah, you could have done it. Would have fleshed the story out more. I mean, a two-hour movie is, you know, a lot, plenty for some people, but if you're going to have a film that covers that kind of passage of time, you almost need to have more reference of what's going on in these people's lives.
Yeah.
Like, you never knew what was going on with Harvey Keitel. Oh, he's still in the army and he wants to kill this guy still. I mean, that was pretty much his character's motivation. Mm-hmm. But he pulled it off well.
Yeah, because he's Keitel and he's ballin', you know.
Word. I don't know. So, what, would you tell people that this is something? Would you recommend this movie?
Yeah, I give it a mild. My thumb is mildly up.
If you're all about checking out, you know, all of Ridley Scott's work, obviously, you know, you're not going to feel like it's a complete waste of your time. If you're looking for some random period piece movie, I'd probably look elsewhere, honestly.
Yeah.
There are better films out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Well, that was a quick discussion. I think our next movie is going to take a little bit longer to go through, though.
Which one are we doing next?
We are doing the director. Well, we're going to do Kingdom of Heaven, but I'm going to be talking. I haven't seen the theatrical cut. I've just seen the director's cut, so I'm probably going to talk more about that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm down for that.
Cool. It will be a good time because that's like a 4-hour long movie.
Yeah. It's long.
But we're not going to start reviewing it yet, even though I'd love to. anyhow, if anyone else is, I'm curious to see if anyone else has seen The Duelist and what you thought of it, because it almost. In some ways, it's almost like he's trying to do a Terrence Malick film.
I can see that, yeah. Like, the movie has awesome, like, atmosphere, but it doesn't quite carry it far enough as it should, I feel.
Yes, yeah. Whereas the Terrence Malick film has better character development, I'd say. It just really reminded me a lot of his work, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet. All right, well, I guess, heck, let's move on to what's hitting theaters this coming week. We've got Brooklyn's Finest, which I forget what the heck this is even about.
It's about Brooklyn's Finest.
There we go. All right. And it won't have Robert De Niro in it, so it's all good. It won't be Righteous Kill 2. And then we have got Tim Burton's latest film, Catch It in 3D, even though it was filmed in 2D, Alice in Wonderland.
Well, I'm excited for that.
I'm kind of excited. It's sad, but oh well, I'll just say it. I'm more excited to see the Tron trailer.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I feel like I should see it more to get out of the house, but I just hate that feeling I'm going to have when I'm walking to the theater and there's all those goth kids. I'm just going to be like, ugh, you know.
Yeah, because it will bring out the wacky goth guy crowd.
Yeah.
The one thing that does intrigue me is that this isn't just a retelling of the story, it's a sequel. So I kind of, that does make me interested to see what this film's going to be.
Yeah, could be. All right.
I appreciate that a lot more than just, you know, hey, let's remake it, but with Tim Burton's stamp on it. Because it very easily could have gone that route.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll come back next weekend and I'll be like, I wish they would have gone that route. I don't know. Who knows? We'll just see. And then next week, let's talk some DVDs. Apparently, okay, so why would you, I don't know. Okay, whatever. Most of the movies that are getting all the Oscar nominations and all the Oscar buzz are coming out after the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just a strategic move. If a movie wins, then hey, go watch the movie on DVD this Tuesday. We've got Jason Reitman's Up in the Air. We have got Precious, and I'm not going to read the rest of that title. It's just not happening.
Based on the novel Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett.
There you go. Yes. See, I knew I could count on you, sir. We've also got Boondock Saints 2 All Saints Day, Planet 51.
That's an Oscar contender.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know. Planet 51, Capitalism, A Love Story, Tremors, the complete series. I didn't even know they did a TV show based off Tremors.
I think I knew it, but I never watched it.
Gotcha. It's probably on the USA Network or something like that. And And next week we've got all the 80s TV shows are coming back. We've got Matt Houston season one, which is about a Hollywood stuntman slash who like is a part-time PI or something. It worked in an 80s kind of way. And the first season of Scarecrow and Mrs. King, just to capitalize on the Bruce Boxleitner goodness.
Oh.
Because he's coming back in Tron, you know.
Yeah, he is.
And then our complete and utter total crap title of the week, Old Dogs.
Oh, I'm signing up to watch that. So that'll be my take one for the team. How about
why would you do that, sir?
I don't know. Have you followed kind of the following amongst kind of like the UCB Human Giant crowd? It has like Jason Walliner, who's the director for Human Giant. He started this blog on Tumblr called Faces of Old Dogs, where he just takes screen caps of people like making weird faces, and it's like I have to watch this movie, I guess,
to understand fully the okay. Good on you, sir. Well, you know, at least I find it hard to believe it'll be any worse than When in Rome, so it's all good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you'd like to shoot us an email or anything, go ahead and do that. You can shoot us an email at podcast, Ethan, Dave, Barry, or Melissa, all at screengeeks.com. Next week, we are talking some Kingdom of Heaven goodness. But until then, have a good week. We shall have much fun. I close the program that has the sound bite, which means that I have to stall until I can open it back up. That's awesome. I love when that happens. This is Dave.
This is Ethan.
Take care.